Father, we just thank you so much for all this that's been read, and we thank you for your word. I pray that the words that come out of my mouth would be yours. Any word that is just my own, it would just fall to the ground. For your word is important, your word I revere, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, so this is in several places, there are several divisions here, but let me start with this. In a world that's full of many distractions, of honking horns, people screaming and yelling to get out of their way, chaos is so great at times, and it's even hard to hear your own thoughts. In a time with a competing voice, it is amazing that we can even hear the voice of Yahweh. Even in the times of Abram, people were clamoring for attention, and yet he remained faithful to Yahweh and heard his call. In this here, where we're at in Jordan, even without horn honking and stuff like that, there's people always vying for our attentions. In America, you see billboards and commercials, television spots, ads on the air. Everywhere you turn, there's somebody vying for your attention. And we need to focus in on what Yahweh has called us to do as a people. Often we go through a change of life, and it sets our whole life on a different course. Unless we're living in a reflection that where Yahweh wants us to go, then we'll get lost. And it's very easy in our world today to get lost with all the things about elections and nations rising against nations and wars and rumors of wars. It's very easy to lose that voice that he is speaking to us. When Elijah was looking for God after his big victory over Baal, the god there, where the people, the prophets of Baal, were mocking God and saying that, well, God doesn't exist and Baal exists. And then the people were wavering between these two thoughts of God, Elohim, and Baal. So there was a contest there. And Elijah just asked God to come down and witness in a stream of fire. And he consumed the offering, and he licked up the water. He heard his voice then. And then all of a sudden, that voice just fled from him. And when he heard Jezebel was after to kill him and seek his own life, so that he went to Mount Sinai, into the cave. And then he finally got in a place where he could be quiet and listen to the voice of Yahweh. But first he came in, there was an earthquake and a fire and wind, and God wasn't there, but he heard a still small voice after that. And he says, Elijah, why are you here? He says, I am alone. There's nobody else. I and I alone serve you. He said, I reserve so many prophets that have not bowed the knee to Baal. Come, you do what I tell you to do. And so he went on his mission. And here we have Abram, who was called out of the land of Ur, of the Chaldeans. He was already living a life that was reflected of hearing the voice of Yahweh. Many times he already had to answer his call. This time here was different. So when he was called out of the land that he was living, he quickly got up, he took Lot, his family, and he left. Which brings the question is, how often is he calling us to get up and go to a land that we don't know of, to a land that we may not even have heard of before, and we have to research it to find out where it even is? When I was in the Navy many years ago, They came into where I was training at, and they said, who wants to go to Italy? And then all of a sudden I raised my hand. I didn't know why, but Yahweh had set me on a course then to learn more of him. And it wasn't until at that point I even heard of a place called La Maddalena. It was just a little speck on the map, on an island in a group of islands. It was remote. And it was very easy to lose that voice and to listen to him. But I kept listening for him. Every step that I took, I was listening for him and where to go and when to go. So we have to be ready and willing to go at any moment. A while back, not even about 2 weeks ago, within the last couple of weeks, we were outside, we're walking around the area where we live at now, and we saw this huge flock of sheep. And we thought it was just one flock. But as they got closer to us, we noticed these people getting up, and they were calling their flock to them. And they just separated out, and I remember seeing one sheep just kind of lost where his way was, and all of a sudden he realized that the flock that he was supposed to be with was gone. And he was just calling out, and he finally found his flock and he ran towards it. Do we want to be wandering around and not paying attention to what he has for us to do, and we lose track of where our master went, and we have to go calling for him? Well, he's waiting for us to come back. He's waiting for us. He wants us to come back. In John chapter 10, verses 14 through 16, he says, Yeshua speaking, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, also I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, but I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, and there they will be one flock and one shepherd. There are many flocks out there. Some belong to Yahweh, Yeshua. Others belong to the enemy. In fact, most of them belong to the enemy, and they listen to any voice that happens to come by. Oh, come over here and buy this or do this. You need this in your life. And they clamor for these things. But how many times do they actually want to seek God and what he wants to do? In Isaiah chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, we read, the ox knows its owner, the donkey knows its manger. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. How terrible it would be for that sinful nation, for a people loaded with guilt, offspring who act wickedly, children who are corrupt. They have forsaken Yahweh. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have deserted and turned back to their own folly. I just added that last part. But we often want to hear a voice, and we don't always discern if it's Yahweh or it's another voice. It sounds close. Oh, it sounds good. But when you actually start eating of the fruit, then you realize it's bitter. It's disgusting. It's rotten. And we say, this is not what the master wants us to eat. So we go quickly to find out where he's at and turn back to him, as it says in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Jeremiah 8. Verses 7 through 8. Even the stork in the sky knows her season. The turtle dove, the swift, and the thrush observe the right time for their migration. But my people do not recognize the just judgments of Yahweh. How can you say we are wise? And the law of Yahweh is with us, when in reality, the lying pen of the scribes has changed it into a lie. And I was listening to a teaching today on how the church has lied to its people and saying that, oh, the law has been done away with. We no longer have to do it. Yeshua, he fulfilled everything. So he lived a perfect life, so we don't have to do what he says that we should have done. We can do this our own way. We can meet him on our own terms because we're under grace. We don't need to have the law. And yet they mistaken what the law really says. That David says so many times in the Psalms that the law is perfect, redeeming the soul. We listen to the master's voice and he will direct us on straight paths. And I alluded to this before in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 10. When all these things come upon you, both the blessing and the curse that I have given you, and you take them to heart while you're among the nations of which Yahweh Elohim has banished you. And when you return to Yahweh, your Elohim, and listen to his voice with all your heart and soul in every way that I am commanding you today, you and your children, then Yahweh your Elohim will restore you from your captivity, and he will have compassion on you, and he will gather you together again out of all the peoples where Yahweh your Elohim has scattered you. Even if your banished people are at the ends of the heavens, Yahweh your Elohim will gather you together there and take you away from there. And the Lord, or Yahweh your Elohim, will bring you back to the land of your fathers that your fathers possessed. Then you will possess it, and you will be made more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. And Yahweh your Elohim will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul, and the result that you will live. Then Yahweh your Elohim will place all these curses on your enemies and on those who hated you and persecuted you. Once again, you will listen to the voice of Yahweh, and you will carry out all of his commands that I am giving you today. Yahweh your Elohim will cause you to be overflowing with good things from the work of your hands and from the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your animals and the fruit of your soil. Once again, he will rejoice over you, over your prosperity, just as he rejoiced over your fathers. When you obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim by keeping his commandments and his statutes written in this book of the law, then you will return to Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul. And Abram was living this life before this was even written. He was living this life before Yahweh as if the promise was already given to him. He believed in the promise before he even left Ur of the Chaldees. Before he even did that, he believed, according to Jasher, in Yahweh so much that he destroyed his father's idols. That was a scary prospect for him to do that, because the king, Nimrod, wanted to kill him. But he was faithful in what Yahweh showed him through Shem. So here we are today, and he's calling us, all of us, to come back to him, to live out his word that he's given to us. Now, some of us say, well, some of it's good today, we can follow that. Others are a little bit harder to do, so we can't follow that. And others just won't pertain to me, so we just forget it. We don't have to do that either. So it's kind of like going to a restaurant to getting a menu and say, well, I want this, this, and this, and nothing else. That's it. Well, Yahweh wants us all to follow him 100%, no matter what, where we're at, when he's called us. In Mark chapter 1, 16 through 20, and walking along beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Yeshua said to them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And when he was going further there a little, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and with the hired servants and went after him. I didn't see any lag there. When he called them, they just left everything behind. Fishermen at that time, even like today, that was their livelihood. That was the trade their father was teaching them. And they did this, even after Yeshua died, they were still fishing, and they should have been fishing for men at that time. Considering Peter, who had denied Yeshua three times in one night, he decided it would be better for him to go back fishing for fish rather than men. He was afraid. He didn't know what was going to happen to him. But yet and here in Mark, immediately they left. And how many times do we have to be told, come and follow me, Yeshua? How many times? How many times do you say, come out of her, my people, so you're not sharing her destruction, that they still dawdle and they still say, well, my family this, my job this, my income this, my retirement this, I'm ill, I'm this. He called us. Considering Abram, he was already in his 70s, and Sarah was in her 60s. And he called him out. Way beyond childbearing age, even by today's standard. And yet, they believed in him. She followed him, and Abram followed Yahweh, and they left. No questions asked, no bye, you know, family or anything like that. They picked up everything and left. It's in, Lot included. In Luke 6:13 and to 16, and it was day, and when it was day, he called his disciples, and he chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles: Simon, which he named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called Zealots, Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, also became the betrayer. See, it's not our job to make people come here where we're at. Rather, it is the Master's job, who will call them out. All we can do is point the way, and if they will do what he says with all their heart and with all their soul and being, then he will call them out. Our job is to show them the way and bind them. See, our job is not, it's just to show them the way and not bind them up and drag them out. He never called us to do that. We're not to captivate them and pull them out by their teeth. Those who will come will come. Those who won't, won't. Our job is to be there as a light unto the world. That's what Israel's job was to begin with. To be a light unto the world. You look at Abram's life. The people there, they made alliances with him. Yeah, he kind of messed up in going to Egypt. But even in that, Yahweh blessed him. He went and did what Yahweh told him to do. But Yahweh didn't force him to go. He said that he believed on him, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Faith goes a long way, but you have to put feet on that faith and do what he says. I could have stayed in Oregon. I could have stayed in La Maddalena, and I was planning to do that. But Yahweh says, no, I want you to go back home and witness to your parents. And I said, but I already did that. And they didn't listen. But that's not the issue. The issue was to be obedient what he said to do, when he says to do it. And I said, okay, I'll do that. And I went back home, and they rejected again. My parents did. But you know what? He said to me, he said, don't worry about that. You follow me and they will follow. And before they died, they followed Yeshua. They were atheists, they were alcoholics, and yet because of the obedience that my sister and I had to him, they saw the difference and they repented and they accepted Yahweh as their Savior. So it's not up to us to drag them along. Yahweh knows what they need. Yahweh knows what's in their heart and how to meet that need. And he will bring them through. It's a promise. All we can do is point the way to do what he says. The Father will call those who are his. Abram was 75 years old when the Father called him out of Ur. Just because you're getting up there in your years, don't think that Yahweh can't use you. Sarah was 65. And look how old she was when she gave birth to Isaac. She was 90 years old. I can't imagine that. but it's because of faith. Abram believed in what Yahweh was doing. He may have messed up a couple times, but he still continued on the path that Yahweh called him on. He never returned back to Ur. You never heard any of those people that went wanting to go back. They continued on the path that he called them to. We don't know who our neighbors call, where they're called to, and what Yahweh wants them to do. Each one of us has a task at hand, and each one of us need to be busy doing what he said to do. So Sarah was 65 years old, and look how old she was when she gave birth to Isaac. She was 90 years old. Her life was far spent and considered barren, dried up, and unfruitful. And in that time period, your offspring was considered your safety net. So with Abraham, if he had died before her, she would have to have some way of making provision for herself. And without a son, she was pretty much doomed to being in poverty. So the line would have died with Abram. And yet if that happened, where would we be at today? If we come to him with all that we have and repent for our crimes or sins against him, if we allow him to be sovereign in our lives, and we will see the change. Abram had a name change. He was circumcised, and a covenant was made that when we violate it, he would come and die and pay the price. Not Abram, Yeshua. This was the promise that when they sin and go against this covenant that I'm making with Abram today, I will pay the price. They are my bride. I will accept them. I will make it right when they willfully sin against me. And how many times do we do that even to this very day? We willfully sin against the master. He still offers up reconciliation. But we can't keep doing that over and over again. Because what does Paul say? What, we're going to sin it so that we crucify Christ again? No. Live a life that's pleasing to him. Abraham had a name change and was circumcised. A covenant was made that when we violated, Yeshua would come and pay the price, the burning torch. When Abraham was 85, Sarah gave Hagar to Abram as a wife so that she would build a family through her. At first, this appeared to be a rash decision, but on their part, and rushed God's plan along in this fashion, rather than it was within her rights to produce offspring for Abram. We judged her for doing something that was outside of the will of the Father, but in that time period, and all the way up through Yeshua, that was the wife's responsibility to produce offspring for her husband. And she was just realizing that. This wasn't that long after they left Egypt. We tend to put a lot of years between that, but it wasn't that long. And yet she was trying to fulfill that destiny for her to have a child through Hagar. But if you notice something here, it's rather unique. She never claimed Ishmael for her own. The adoption wasn't complete. Because a promise wasn't with Ishmael, it was through Isaac. And Yahweh made it perfectly clear in Genesis 15. In all this, Abraham was 86 when Ishmael was born. And notice that Sarah did not take this as her own. The boy was through Hagar and not through Sarai. 13 years later, a span of silence between Yahweh and Abram. Nothing was said, nothing was recorded. I can't find anywhere where there was any dialogue between him and Yahweh. It was a test to see if he would be faithful even in that. So then Yahweh spoke with Abram again. It was when Ishmael was weaned at 13. And then they had a circumcision party. And not a very good party, if you ask me, but all of the males were circumcised at that time. And Abram was 99. In fact, there was something I noted in this here. Abram's wife was the only one that I could see that had an age for every major event that was listed in the scriptures. No one, Moses, he was 40 years old when he left Egypt. He was 80 years old when he was called. He was 120 when he died. But you look how many times it was talked about with Abram. He was 75 and left Ur the Chaldeans. He was 85 when this promise was given about the land. But 86, he gave through Hagar, he was given Ishmael. And then at 99, the promise was given. It was going to be through Sarah, and she had a name change as well. Just because you're old, God is not finished with you yet. As long as you're breathing, and as long as you're faithful to Him, as long as you're doing things according to His will, He's not finished with you until the last breath. Yahweh told him that the son of the promise would be through Isaac. And yet Abraham obeyed and believed in Yahweh and everything he said. It is not by happenstance that all these events happened with Abraham. It was all a test to see if he would remain faithful. If you look through other places in Exodus all the way through Deuteronomy, you see all these tests that were given to Israel, and they failed one after another after another. We failed even today. We don't listen to everything He says. We don't do everything He says. We leave things incomplete. We say, this is what He says to do. Oh, but we don't have to listen to this. We don't have to go to the feast days. We don't have to, Sabbath is optional. We don't have to do that anymore. That's the old thing. We don't have to do that. And I hear the Jews talking about, those three pilgrimage feasts, we're going to do away with those, and we're going to have two, Hanukkah and Purim. That's it. Nothing else. They circumvent everything Yahweh says. The Christians circumvent everything Yahweh says. They pick and choose what they will follow, and unfortunately, it's to their own demise. We need to listen to what Yahweh says, obeying Him in everything He says. Doing the best we can, and when we mess up, we need to repent and come back to Him. He's a God of second chances. And when we repent, it's as if we never did it before. Never did it. There's no record of it. We hold the record. And the enemy is good at giving us the reminders of what happened. And we just say, be gone. It's already been dealt with. Yeshua took care of it all. And He took care of it back in Genesis 15. The promise is given.